next public hearing is subdivision number 2014-1, Charles H. Guy IV.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Indian River 100, Sussex County, dividing 41.59 acres into 83 lots using the cluster development concept and being located south of Road 279A, also known as Waterview Road, 530 feet east of Road 279, also known as Camp Arrowhead Road, and being identified on the tax rolls as tax map ID District 234, Map 12, Parcel 22. Now, I refer to Shane for anything on the Technical Advisory Committee comments.
Mr. Chairman, the Technical Advisory Committee report of March 23rd of this year has been in the file. It's a part of the record. On April 28th, of this year, the applicant submitted an exhibit booklet. Each of you received a copy of that. It contains an introduction, different maps and plans. The copy of the Technical Advisory Committee reports in there. Comments from the PLUS review and the applicant's response to the PLUS comments, and then proposed restrictions are in that exhibit booklet. That's part of the record.
Okay, thank you. All right, sir, we appreciate it. Okay.
Thank you, Commissioners and Mr. Chairman. Anticipating the same welcome that Mr. Edwards gotten, I'm Chad Meredith with Hudson Jones, Jaywick & Fisher, here on behalf of Charles Guy IV today. Also with us is Kevin Smith of Kircher Engineering, who has put together most of the materials, and my bar ID is 5933, in case you'd like to run that.
Well, we definitely want to run it. Yeah. Personally, I trust you, but it's him I'm worried about.
Fair enough. I'll take that. Thank you. Okay. So I'll briefly go over the project and the preliminary plans, Mr. Smith will go over some of the more particulars. And again, Mr. Guy is here, should there be any questions that he may be more in tune to answer.
Before you continue, I just want to remind everyone that there are exhibits over here that the applicant's going to refer to. You're very difficult to see from where you're sitting. If you wish to get up and take a look, please feel free to do so at any time. I just ask that while you're there, if you would refrain from having any conversation, because we're going to continue with the public hearing, but do feel free to come over and take a closer look. I'm sorry, sir. Go ahead.
Excuse me. Thank you. So it's currently the existing site use is agricultural. It's zoned as AR1, and so the preliminary plan for subdivision it is a proposed zoning of AR1 agricultural with a cluster option. That cluster option can be found in tab B. I believe it's the second page, which is a record plan showing 83 lots. Under Chapter 125, all the lots meet or exceed minimum lot areas, widths, depths, the setbacks, building heights, and open space. Those are all laid out next to the location map under site data and zoning schedule. I know it may be a little hard to read, but it's also on the exhibit board. Turning to tab A, John O. Murray of Kircher Engineering wrote a letter dated April 22nd, and in that letter he gave a project summary and also considerations for his understanding of Chapter 99C and the project's compliance with 99C. And I guess for reference, it shows up at tab D, which is the PLUS review. This is investment level 3 according to strategies for state policies and spending. And at this point, I'll turn it over to Mr. Smith.
So some of the information I'll provide is probably duplicate in nature. My name is Kevin Smith. I'm a project manager with Kircher Engineering.
Okay, and your qualifications as an expert are?
I have 18 years experience in the civil field.
Excellent. Okay, go ahead.
Well, it's located in the Angola area near Peddler's Village. There's several other developments similar to this that have received preliminary approval. Marsh Island to the north. There's a Marsh Farm development to the west and southwest across Camp Arrowhead Road that has received preliminary approval with a similar layout of properties. This particular property is 83 single-family lots on the 43.68 acres, as described before. 2.09 acres are actually going to be dedicated to public use. The lots are going to take up most, probably a good 60%, 21.94 acres. There's 5.98 acres of right-of-way, and there's 13.67 acres of open space, which roughly is about 31 to 33% of the property. Of that, 1.65 acres is delineated as wetlands. It's located to the south eastern portion of the project. There's 1.9 units per acre, which is well below the allowable density for the project. Typically, these developments for cluster options are allowed to be 7,500 square foot minimum. This project, due to the type of buildings and homes, is actually about 9,000 square feet would be the minimum lot size. Most of them are roughly 10, 11,000 square feet. So we're going to adhere to the 60-foot wide minimum lot widths and the 100-foot depth as a minimum. A lot of the properties are going to exceed those minimums, as shown on the plans you have in front of you. The sewer, we've had a meeting with Sussex County, and they would provide the sewer. We would have to annex into the Angola Neck Sanitary Sewer District. We are directly adjacent to their sanitary sewer district boundary. That boundary would be the Marsh Farm project I mentioned earlier. I did meet with them to go over how the connections would take place, and they would be in conjunction with those other developments in the area. The central water would be provided under Tidewater Utilities. I've had several correspondences with Tidewater related to the connection of central water. They have central water in the area. It would be up to the client to provide that sewer extension to their property. It's not located, it's not designated as a groundwater recharge area, nor is there a wellhead protection area located within the project boundaries. It is located in a Zone X, shaded and unshaded, with four lots in the southeastern portion that are in an AE elevation 6. With the design of the project and the engineering, those properties will actually be raised out of that elevation E area. And if designated by the individual property owner, they could actually get out of the flood zone and apply individually for that waiver. Also, the roads are to be private and are to be designed to the newest county engineering standards. They've upgraded their road standards over the last couple years, and they will definitely be better than what they've been designed in the past. On the plan, it shows sidewalks, if required, and I believe the AR1 cluster requires sidewalk. We ask that it only be on one side of the street, even though it's shown on both sides. We had a meeting with DelDOT to discuss the project in October of last year, and DelDOT issued a letter, which is in your packets, and it's actually in the TAC comments, I believe, that actually states that they have no objection with the project moving forward through the planning and zoning process. The issue that we ran into with getting a standard letter of no objection that the commission is accustomed to is this project has yet to receive preliminary approval, and their requirements in the comments require a TIS or a fee in lieu of to allow them to pay DLDOT to perform the study of the overall area. And the issue with the fee in lieu of, it's based on trips, and the trips are based on the number of lots that are going to be approved. And so there was a little hiccup with making sure that this project would, one, get approved, two, that the project would actually have 83 lots when the commission has seen the project, and three, that the client would have to come up with that money out of pocket prior to coming to the commission and receiving any kind of approvals. I also met with the Conservation District in December of 2013 and discussed possible outfall locations and green technologies. Of course, it hasn't been designed yet, so we were just having a preliminary discussion on what those issues potentially could be.
And just to quickly, I know that Kevin had referred to a couple areas, one being the sewer district. He mentioned that it is surrounded by other properties which are tied in. You can see that on the map. That's the last page of tab B, and the comment that came from DLDOT regarding having no objection to moving forward in the planning and zoning process shows up at tab C. It is about the third page in the final paragraph of that letter.
My name is Charles Guy. I just wanted to present myself as the owner. I'm here to represent myself and the other co-owner, which is my younger brother and his family. This property's been in our family for over 200 years, and given the surrounding development, we both have spent a lot of time on this project. This is my second engineer that I've hired, and I personally have already talked with some builders and so forth to try to get the right layout for these lots. And you'll notice that the lots are 9 to 11,000 square feet, whereas a minimum is 7,500 square feet. I also worked as a developer here in Sussex County for 10 years, but this isn't a commercial property for me. This is a family property. So we've really spent a lot of time putting this together, and I'm happy with the layout now, something my brother and I have put a lot of time in. So I just want to say that, and I'm available here too, anyone who wants to speak with me afterwards. Thank you. Charles Guy.
Complete your presentation?
I believe so.
All right, sir. If you'll take a seat nearby. We'll see. Well, no, I'm sorry. Don't take a seat yet. We're going to see if anybody has any questions. Then you can take a seat. And we're going to start with Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Guy, Mr. Smith, and Mr. Meredith. I just put down a couple notes. Just noticing on the site plan, down in the lower left-hand corner, notation of a future interconnection street.
Yes.
Is that?
It was required by DLDOT.
That one was. Now, was that on your plan or the prior engineer that Mr. Guy had hired on that plan?
We completed the design on this project and submitted to DLDOT, and one of their comments was to provide that interconnection to that development. Or that parcel.
Okay.
It was supposed to be Marsh Farm development. When I had the meeting with DLDOT, they said that project was no longer on the table, but they still wanted us to provide an interconnection to that property. Since then, I've talked to a couple other agencies, and they said that project has been placed back on, I guess, the engineer's plate, and they plan to move forward with the project. So that interconnection may have to be adjusted and in accordance to the Marsh Farm plan to the west.
Gotcha. Thank you. And I might ask you, what is the size and type of homes that you anticipate to build? Do you have restrictive covenants, I guess?
The draft of restrictive covenants right now calls for 2,200 square foot homes. That's subject to change. It's still being worked out. They are fairly large lots. And Charles may have a better answer as to what his ultimate hope is, but in our discussions thus far, 2,200 square feet is the home size he was kind of looking at.
And the target demographic would be?
I would assume families, but.
Hi, how you doing? Charles Kaka. Yeah, sure. The situation I'm in is that we're in a preliminary stage. I have spoken to some local builders, and then I've spoken to some real estate agents who have dealt with national builders. A lot of the homes that we've sold across the street, it's essentially going to be that size or larger. One of the issues that me personally, as being a developer, I always worked with larger lots. If you remember the 3/4 acre size lots, we're in a different world now with more infrastructure and smaller lots with smaller setbacks. And I tried to put some care into that. So if you look on that layout, most of our lots aren't even at 75 feet wide, are they? Most of them are 80 or 90, I believe. But I had spoken to two or three different builders to see what layouts they're using now so that that those type of homes would fit. And most of the homes are in that size range that we're proposing. The issue is I'm not in a position to essentially say this is exactly what we're going to do. This project is larger than me, essentially. If that's your answer. If you have a more specific answer, I can.
Well, I had sort of a follow-up question because I was wondering if you thought that would be your target demographic be retirees or families, and what your anticipated impact might be on surrounding infrastructure, say the schools, and if you were proposing to provide a school bus stop near the entrance.
I don't have an answer for that. Maybe my engineer has an answer for that. You have something mentioned in the 99C, I think.
I believe DelDOT would require some sort of bus stop at the entrance. Typically, they require some sort of area for buses. It hasn't progressed to that point to where we show that on the plan.
Question to expand on what you had asked about the size of the structure.
Pardon?
May I ask a question to expand
yes,
the size
sure.
of the structure? The 2,200 square foot reference, is that living space, exclusive garages, porches, decks, et cetera?
I think it's, why don't you pull
I
it up exactly?
I believe it's living space, but I'll pull it up.
Yeah, it just sometimes helps the audience.
It may be 1,900 plus porches, I'm not certain.
Livable floor space, exclusive basement, garage, porch, and breezeway.
Yeah,
2,200.
Yeah, just for the record, for the audience, because they don't know.
Just thank keeping you. In mind that that's proposed, though.
I understand. Yeah, I agree.
Sure. That's yeah.
And you are you want to go on the record as proposing to put sidewalk on one side of the street? Is that correct?
Correct.
And will there be street lights as well?
Typically there will be street lights when there's sidewalk.
Do you expect this to be phased in, like 20 lots 1 year, 40 lots the next, or?
Two phases.
I believe it was two phases, but the Conservation District, based on their 20 acres, I think 20 acres, and this is only 41.68, it'll be two phases. And the phase line is probably gonna go in between lots 6 and 7, carry down the open space and down lot 49. And those lots would probably be the first phase, and then the lots to the east would be the second phase. So the clubhouse would be in the second phase.
So those type of amenities wouldn't be available to the first purchasers in the development until a later period.
If it was, I believe that at this time, the clubhouse would, if dictated, the clubhouse would be built at the appropriate time for the homeowners. Some people may buy a lot. There may not. I'm not sure if there's going to be a builder tie-in, or if they're going to.
I don't really have a. It could be built. Mm-hmm. We don't know at that point. But it has a natural layout for two phases, and given the level of infrastructure that the developments are requiring nowadays, it's better. And given the market, it's better to have phases.
Typically, the commission requires that all the amenities be open for use by the residents purchasing lots within 2 years of the issuance of the first building permit. That's not saying that's firm, but that's pretty typical.
Thank you, Mr.
If you'd like to add that, I don't have a problem with that.
I can ask another question related to
sure.
that.
Sure, go ahead.
If I may. You made reference to the open space being included in phase one. Is that right? Not counting the clubhouse in your way you stated it. You showed a line. I couldn't
see
it.
Yeah. Between lots 6 and 7, straight across.
And then down the road. Okay.
Down
that's
the
fine.
Road, and then down.
So the only thing that 40, the only thing that wouldn't be in phase one would be the clubhouse, the way you're proposing.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen. I do want to ask you, I hate to pain you and make you go back through the DLDOT explanation again, but for my benefit as well as the public, because I do have the exhibit book in tab C here, and I do see what you referenced, the last paragraph on the second page of the letter from Mr. Sisson that says the department, meaning Department of Transportation, has no objection with this moving forward, but they would still require the project to get the letter of no objection and entrance approval. Back on that first page, they said, as you, Mr. Smith, indicated earlier, that it really should have a TIS, but they are willing to waive that. Is my
correct?
I'd rather have you explain it to me than me put those words to it.
DLDOT. Their procedures have changed over the last few years. They either want you to provide a traffic impact study, and because of the length of time and the cost to individual developers, they've come up with a system where you pay them money for each potential trip for your project, and they will actually perform a TIS in the future for an expanded area. And they require, instead of in an earlier testimony, it was, they called them TOAs. Basically, they've kind of tiered things down based on each project. And this project, they actually told us we only needed to look at our intersection with Camp Arrowhead Road and Waterview for this particular project, and then submit the fee in lieu of for the traffic impact study for the area. So there's a worksheet they want us to provide when we submit for our entrance plans for that particular intersection, but the rest of them, they allow a fee so that they can perform a traffic impact study in greater expanse of the area.
Thank you.
Can I follow up on that just real quick, because this is a topic that comes up. So they request a fee that funds a larger TIS that involves several projects in an area. But at that point, you're through an approval process. Are they coming back to you for another fee based upon that larger TIS that says that your project is contributing more traffic, and so we need more improvements and all the developments within that area need to contribute some amount?
I believe that they have a general idea of what their roadway system can handle, and in the future. So when we have these meetings, they typically have an idea of what they want for this project based on your number of trips and the area and the traffic on those roads now and what they've projected in the future. And honestly, I haven't the slightest idea when they would use that money to fund analysis.
And I didn't ask that question with your project specifically, but it just was a good example questions the commission's had about how DelDOT does business. So
they've done that with multi-use paths that they've required along the road frontage. Usually on smaller projects, you pay a fee in lieu of, and eventually when they bring a system to connect your project, they state that they will build it for you.
Well, I think Mr. Abbott and Mr. Lank remember when we used to have a DelDOT representative attended every planning and zoning meeting so that we could ask them these kinds of questions. Mr. Smith, it isn't anyone's intention here to hold you accountable for DelDOT.
Oh, no.
Just looking for information, because it does beg the question that if they're collecting money for a future study, but they allow these projects to advance, and then these projects advance, and they get built, and the entrance improvements gets built, we're still waiting for the traffic impact study that's going to be done sometime in the future to be done. And then what of it at that point is the question.
I'm not sure.
We understand that's not, I'm not asking you, I'm just putting that on the table and in our record. And I rather suspect this is why the DelDOT folks stopped coming to our meetings. guessing.
Can I make a small comment, because I can't exactly remember. What was the exemption before? I mean, we're at 83 lots. What was the exemption before traffic study, before the cutoff? Maybe Mr. Lank put that.
I think it was a number of trips. It's not a number of lots. I thought there was a number of lots. It really depends on the road that it's on. I don't think there was really.
I thought that subdivisions under 100 lots didn't go through the same pathway. But maybe that was a while ago.
I think it has something to do with the types of developments. Okay.
Well, anyway, that's for another day.
Thanks, though. That helped to give a real world application to an issue we've been dealing with.
So. Where were we here?
I believe I'm good. I'm fine.
Okay, Mr. Ross.
I'd like to just continue the conversation. It's the first time I've seen a Department of Transportation exhibit which, with such specificity, $10 per daily trip. How many trips does 83 homes, 83 lots generate?
For this project, it's 884 trips based on the trip generation diagram.
84 sounds like the better part of $9,000.
$9,000 there.
Okay.
And then you're required to do improvements of about 1,200 feet of Waterview Road and Camp Arrowhead Road. So that's 1,200 foot of pavement and 11 foot widening lanes.
Yes.
You're also required to do the interconnection you've already spoken to. You've got to give 15 foot of permanent easement to the state. And you've got to contribute a fair share contribution, which, Mr. Chairman, I think in our last meeting I said, how do they calculate this? Well, by gosh, it says something here that...
Now you know.
Well, not necessarily. It's at least an indication. The fair share contribution is calculated by dividing the project's generated PM peak trips passing through the intersection by the total number of PM peak trips generated by all participating and proposed land development projects passing through the intersection.
And so, I think that's a different fee.
Yeah, it's a separate fee from the trips.
First one
was area-wide study fee.
So, and then if I heard you correctly, you said that they require the area-wide study fee in advance of your appearance here before the commission?
Well, in order to get a typical letter of no objection that the commission typically sees,
right.
they required us to submit that fee.
You paid that almost $9,000?
We did not. I had a meeting with DelDOT and specifically told them of the we don't have preliminary approval. Having our client go in and pay, you know, $8,840, this commission may see the project and there may be a reduction in the number of lots, which will reduce the fee. There were some variables at play here, and at the meeting I discussed with them a conditional no objection letter. Basically, if we receive preliminary approval from the commission, that we would come back to DelDOT in order to get our official letter no objection, which I'm really unsure why we need a letter no objection prior to submitting them plans to review and approve. It's basically submitting our site plan.
Yeah, I think you need it for us. I think you need it for us. And that's that is just so that we know they've at least looked at it and they don't have some violent objection to the anything happening there.
Right. And
so
I actually, Steve Sisson is the person at DelDOT that I had the meeting with. He said that they may change the way they do letters of no objection based on these kinds of problems.
Right.
That they're going to require these TISs or TOAs and or fee in lieu of. And it becomes a problem when we're trying to get preliminary approval and we need DelDOT's sort of no objection to the specific project we're trying to present.
If we were to deny your application, you're not on the hook. You're off the hook, is what you're saying.
Well, I think what he's saying is that through his expert negotiating skills, he was able to avoid having to pay the fee before getting this temporary letter, which, of course, made his client very happy. But sure. but it really doesn't change what they're doing too terribly much. And it is interesting that there's that much flexibility. Which I find kind of interesting.
To be honest with you, it doesn't have a whole lot of weight on your application,
well,
whether it gets approved or denied, quite frankly. I mean, the merit of what you have in your book is going to determine the end of the day. We're actually, at least for myself, you know, we're just struggling to comprehend as we have more people and the public questioning, you know, where the infrastructure money is going to come from. And we know there's contributions being made, but we, as a commission, don't know how much or how it's figured out or where that money goes after you make the
contribution. Does it come back to Sussex County?
Yeah. I mean, does it, you know, just get put in a pot and then goodbye and go somewhere else? Or does it actually get used in that area where everybody, yourself and your neighbors, benefit from it?
It would be interesting to know what the schedule of completion is for the future study. When is that study going to be done? And it's interesting because the way it's written, it says of all the developments or potential developments. Well, I'm not sure anybody knows quite how to answer that question either.
I don't. But they just look at our drainage plan, I guess.
One thing is clear: we're not going to solve that issue this evening. And these folks out here are being very patient. So I would suggest that let's move on to
Well, then, the only other question I have is, you mentioned sidewalks, and are they at grade or curb and gutter?
The project's going to have curb and it's going to have curb and gutter.
And you're asking for just one side.
Yes.
Okay, that's it, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. All right, Mr. Burton.
You mentioned that there were a few lots that were in the AE 6 zone. I'd like to A, see where those lots are, and B, tell me what you're raising them up, or explain to me that.
There's a potential when the project is designed in order for grading and drainage for the streets and lots, that lots 35 through 38, there's a potential for grade change once they build the houses and, you know, do bulk grading on the project. There's a potential that those would raise, and there it's only in the rear portion of the lots that the elevation would change.
But you would force that change to get them out of that zoning?
It's not required, but potentially based on the design, there's a potential that those properties could be raised to get out of that that flood elevation.
And if this was to go forward, those lot owners would know that they're buying into that lower graded zone, lower graded area in the rear.
Correct.
And you mentioned there is wetlands on this site?
There's wetlands to the south. If you look behind the lot 35, just to the west of that, there's a wetland shown on the plan.
And it has been delineated?
It has been located by, it's been delineated by Atlantic Resource Management.
But none of the lot lines will be in that. You'll be clear of that, including lot 35.
Correct.
And the stormwater management, you just saw open space / stormwater management area. So there's no ponds? There's just...
The initial design would try to get away with bioswales or bioretention. There may be a storage facility to store the water, to make a discharge at the pre-development rate.
And your plan would be to put them behind lots 48 through 41?
Potentially, yes.
And the amenity of the clubhouse, are you planning clubhouse, pool, et cetera?
Or just I'd spoken to some builders. It seems like most people want the swimming pool and the clubhouse. So that's the plan.
And there would be no parking for that.
I don't believe it needs it. It's a pretty small parcel. It's a nice, very nice wooded area right there. That was the original homestead area going back to 1700 something.
But if you were handicapped or something like that, you may have a little problem.
Yeah, I don't really have an answer for that. I mean, given the planning stage, does anyone have an answer in terms of how you've done other projects?
It would be based on the overall design of the project. Once an architect would get involved with the building, then we would...
What size is that? That parcel is almost 2 acres, I believe, and there's an access area that we put between those two lots, so maybe Kevin can
is there a requirement,
detail that.
Mr. Lang, to have parking at a pool clubhouse area?
Not a specific requirement. There's a requirement that they submit a site plan specifically for that open space.
But if they put a clubhouse in a pool, do they have to have parking?
Not necessarily.
It's over an acre.
If it's a walking community, it wouldn't necessarily be, but typically they do.
It's over an acre, that parcel.
I have no further questions.
I just don't have an answer for that.
But the discretion of the commission.
All right, Mr. Lank, do you have any questions?
No questions.
Thank you.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Counselor?
No, mine have all been answered already. Thanks.
Okay. All right, then, gentlemen, if you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2014-1, Charles H. Guy IV? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2014-1? Yes, sir. Come on up. Give us your name. You may have the floor.
Good evening. I find myself in a little bit of a curious...
Excuse me. We need your name first.
Please. My name is Jeff Sundstrom. I came here tonight as a private citizen, but I'm also Director of Public Relations for DelDOT. So, in fact, we do have a DelDOT representative here tonight. I'm just not wearing my official hat.
Would you like to wear your official hat?
I wish I could answer some of the questions that were raised tonight.
I'm giving you a choice now.
Yeah.
I'm giving you a choice.
Right. So what I would say is, of course, there is a lot of uncertainty around the subdivision rules. We've heard some of that tonight. In fact, the agency does have out for public comment right now a complete rewrite of the state subdivision manual that addresses some of this ambiguity. So I would call your attention to that, number one. But secondly, clearly we ought to have someone here from our subdivision section to weigh in on the questions that the council and the commission have. And with that in mind, You know, I feel like as a neighbor to this proposed development, that there's a great deal of ambiguity, not just on the DelDOT side, but frankly on the part of the developer.
Okay, sir, you need to direct your
I heard quite a bit of qualified language. I believe that the development may have this. I believe the development may have that. I didn't hear the certainty that was attendant to the Bayside plan, for example. And I think that the residents that are surrounding this proposed development are owed that. I mean, they're owed a very clear, crisp description of what's proposed for the area so that they can properly evaluate whether or not it's something that they can support. So I would withhold my comment on whether this is the proper development or not. I would observe that it's situated between Love Creek and Cherrywalk Creek. It is, in my mind anyway, a environmentally sensitive piece of property with outfall stormwater issues potentially going into the bay. but I think that the county deserves more certainty about what DelDOT is requiring and asking of the developer, as well as more certainty from the developer himself as to exactly what he has proposed for the property, and that's all I have to say.
All right, then. Thank you, and I appreciate your commitment to having someone attend our meetings.
Thank you.
Okay, who's next? Anyone? Okay, don't all rush up here at once.
My name is John V. Brock. I am also a neighbor of this development, and the gentleman did touch on my concern, a couple of them. Mostly is my main concern, I suppose, is traffic and what kind of improvements are going to be made to Waterview Road. It is a pretty narrow road, although it is state maintained. Fairly narrow road, and my second concern, I think, is runoff. I noticed on the site plan that they have made provisions for stormwater retention. However, my question, I suppose, is the water has to go somewhere, and what kind of provisions are going to be in the plan for that. Other than that, the gentleman pretty much covered my ideas altogether. Thank you.
We thank you, sir. Okay, is there anyone else who would like to speak? Okay, going once, twice.
Here's that we have six residents.
We will take a show of hands. If you wish to be noted as being in opposition, please raise your hand, and we'll at least take a count. 2, 3, 4. Okay, 5. Okay. Very, very good. Okay. Anyone on the commission have any questions? No one's taking your name or anything. It's okay. It's just
might
a count.
Need an ice pack.
That's right.
For one lady's ribs.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Anyone else in the commission have any questions? All right, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.